Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This hour of the Greg Hill Morning Show brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations.
Join us at 9 to talk Red Sox at the trade deadline. Remind me about Lou on the show last week. Was he all in on a first baseman or all in on pitching? I can't remember.
He's in on a first baseman for the depends on the price. It's always nuanced with Lou, of course, which it should be. But he wants Carlos Santana. I don't know about pitching. I threw a starter at him, Kyle Gibson. He didn't like that idea. Depending on the return. So, I don't know. We'll have to clear it up at 9.
Do you see the tickets in Worcester to see Sale on Saturday are going for $100?
Whoa.
That's more than you would pay to go see the Red Sox at Fenway. I want to ask Lou about this, but the Alex Cora pushing that back with another start for Sale, is there a concern there, or is that just being overly cautious because you really don't need him right now?
Yeah, I guess overly cautious. He did comment, and I'll get the cut for you, but it did not sound like anything medical.
Especially before the trade deadline. Wouldn't you want to kind of see him back in the rotation before you make any decisions on who you're going to get or who you're going to send?
I still think you have to bring somebody in, because what if there is some type of setback? You can't put all your, when we talked to Chaim Bloom, I think he made that a point. Like, you can't put all your eggs into one basket, mm-hmm. and that basket being Chris Sale, mm-hmm. which is kind of
I don't think you're putting all of your eggs into one basket, because it's not like you're hoping that he comes in. You don't need him to come in and save the franchise. You're basically getting a bonus starter.
Mm-hmm.
If he's 90% of what he was, you're getting a bonus starter in August.
Well, I would ask this question, Greg. How do you feel about their rotation right now?
I feel pretty good about it.
Okay.
I mean, I guess if you were worried, maybe you'd be worried about Erod going the whole way. I mean, who else worries you?
Does Perez, like, does he come back to earth? Are you concerned?
If you have a 1-3 wigs of Sale, Eovaldi, and Eduardo Rodriguez, and because mm-hmm. I think Erod on a good team is your third pitcher,
mm-hmm.
then you can win the World Series.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying, don't put Chris Sale into the equation. If Chris Sale wasn't coming back, do you feel like you would need to add an arm to your rotation, or would you feel good with the rotation that you have?
If I had a choice, I would prefer to go and get a first baseman over a pitcher.
Okay.
But it appears like they're looking at this reliever, correct?
Well, I mean, they're looking at Kimbrel, per sources, to bring him back. But there's a lot of relievers out there. That's going to be a hot market. The Washington Nationals have everybody on the block, including Brad Hand, who's an excellent reliever there. So they'll be in on all those guys, I'd imagine.
With regard to, we'll get to Lou at 9. With regard to the discussion about the used socks and underwear in your DM, I received a text in which somebody was, apparently they were on the MBTA wearing a cast, and somebody suggested that they would buy that cast after they were done with it.
That is disgusting. That is...
How much are we talking about?
I mean, that has got to be a 10 on the how creepy is it meter. The cast.
And the itchiness that you have when you have a cast on.
Yeah, but didn't somebody buy like a piece of Elvis's hair for...
Well, yeah, but that's like a celebrity. This is just a regular woman who's on the MBTA and somebody wants to buy her cast when she's done with it.
Is it true, Greg, that you sold your white T-shirt for $200?
No, but I would.
You could auction that.
I would sell it for $2, the white T-shirt. This is Michael from Brookline. What's up, Michael?
How are you doing, guys?
What's going on?
So, first of all, Courtney, I have to agree with you. The people in Denver are terrible. They're horrible.
Really?
People.
So mean.
What the? Isn't everybody? You would think everybody's high in Denver. Like, what do they have to be mean about?
You would think with the Rocky Mountains and all that, you know, thin air. They're horrible. They're horrendous. I would never go back there. Yeah. Second of all, I can solve the whether or not the destination wedding is a douche move or not.
Yes.
Okay. The way you decide is, let's say half of your family is from one place, half is from another. Obviously, it's not a douche move to have the wedding at one of those two places.
Correct.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we agree on that.
Yes.
Okay. Supposedly, Santos is from down there, correct?
Around the, not in South Carolina, but more south than Boston.
Nowhere near South Carolina.
Okay. Well, south like Boston?
South Philly.
You don't need me to settle it. You just settled it.
Santo!
Well,
you're never going to, honestly, and I blame Spaz and Wiggy for this, you're never going to get a consensus on the destination.
And that
wedding.
Is fine. That's fine. Right. I did have to make the unfinished website private.
You did?
Thanks to Spaz.
Why? Because people were all over it?
Yes.
Are they allowed to leave messages or?
No, but I don't.
Well, wasn't that the purpose of the website?
No, it's for your guests. Because you put everything on there. You put the date, where it's happening, the whole rundown of the wedding.
So you didn't make that private from jump?
No, I thought I did. I just I was messing around on it. I didn't think
so
that.
Oh, you created it? And didn't
yes,
know.
Yes, correct.
Greg, Google will not let you find a single story on the lab leak, but you can find Coco's wedding website in 2 seconds.
Google it.
Now, I don't know if now I think people are just making things up, but this woman says somebody online offered to buy their toenail clippings.
I believe it.
They met them in Kenmore Square, took their money, and went clubbing and never heard from the guy again. Toenail clippings?
Yep. People are weird. I'm telling you.
There's a lot of freaky fetishes out there, man. And if you can capitalize and make some coin off of it, aren't you just a good hustler?
Safety.
I feel like this is how COVID started.
Oh, God.
Never mind the bat soup. I feel like buying other people's toenail clippings is a real risk when it comes to catching a virus.
Well, as long as you sanitize them, Fauci said you should be fine. Yeah, but when you say safety, you just meet up in a public place. Right?
Yeah, but then they'll contact you over and over. I don't know. I think it's a slippery slope.
Get a P.O. box or something like that. I mean, everybody's doing Cash App and Venmo, so you don't have to really, you know.
Well, didn't we talk about somebody on TikTok or Twitch that was selling their bathwater made a fortune by selling their bathwater?
I would just be nervous about stalkers. And there was actually recently an ESPN cover story in the ESPN magazine about a former Olympian for 3 years had the same stalker. And it's the scariest story when you read it.
Really?
She said her life completely changed, got flipped upside down from this
person.
Well,
didn't Taylor Swift have one too or something?
Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of the Olympics, there is some breaking Olympic news when it comes to Simone Biles.
Yeah, Simone Biles, they said that she has withdrawn because of an injury and she will be assessed to see about future trials, future situations.
Is she out for good?
This is the final. So the only two people that qualified for the all-around finals are Simone Biles and Suni Lee. So now it will just be Suni Lee who is competing for the U.S. in the finals. And that's a lot of pressure now on her.
One too many backflips.
But there was a report it was not an injury, a physical injury. It was a mental health issue.
Yes.
Meaning what? That there's too much pressure on her?
Yeah, that could be it.
You got to look up her Instagram post. She talked about it yesterday. So it is interesting timing that it happened today.
Isn't that what you expect as an Olympic athlete?
Yes, but Curtis and I talked about it, that documentary. You see how much.
What's it called? Golden?
Golden. How much these athletes go through. And Simone Biles was part of the team that had to deal with Larry Nassar. So for her, I mean, she's gone through a lot.
But is that the issue, though?
No, I think it's
you have all
the pressure.
Or is it just the pressure of the Olympics?
I think it's a lot of pressure. And I think, you know what? It sucks that it came down to this. But good on her if she's not right mentally to remove herself from the situation. Also with gymnastics, if you're not right mentally, mm-hmm. you could really you could paralyze yourself. You could die doing any of those tricks. I think you have to be completely mentally there to be able to execute those very difficult skills in a safe manner.
Because doesn't that kind of put you in the Naomi Osaka world where it's like, is that how you say your last name?
Yes.
Osaka is... Remember, she didn't want to, she pulled out of
one. She didn't want to meet with the media. She didn't want to answer media questions.
So it's like, and Simone Biles, you've been talking about this for a couple of days, it seems like. She's been talking about the pressure of the Olympics. Now, the other stuff with the Larry Nazer guy, I understand that. But if it's the pressure of the Olympics and competing, don't you kind of know that before you say, I want to go to the Olympics?
Well, she's already been to an Olympics. She's already won gold at an Olympics. So obviously she knows when her mind's not right. And, you know, mental health-wise, she wasn't, or it was an actual injury. We don't know, but I think.
Monica Alba, who's an NBC reporter, said, quote, it is not injury related. And apparently her coach said it's a mental issue that Simone is having.
Huh. Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
It's really sad. Yeah. And I think, you know, this could be her final, you know, shot at the Olympics. So
I will say she was the one Olympic athlete that Wiggy said was an actual athlete. So you did give her, give no credit to Michael Phelps.
No. But I wonder if like this situation, because this is always like an interesting thing when we have this in the world of sports and where athletes, they kind of know the pressure that comes with being that type of athlete. And don't you know this going into the Olympics and go, you know what, maybe I'm not the best choice for this team. Let me let somebody else have this opportunity that could help and could benefit the team more than
she's been in the Olympics before. She knows, and she
was rock solid leading up to these Olympics. So
where I don't think she was, because if you have some type of issues that you might be dealing with, you might think to yourself going into it that, you know what? I'm not feeling it. As an athlete, I've been there before. We're just like, I'm not feeling it. And you might have to say, okay, how do I fight through that? Or do I remove myself prior to getting there?
Wait, the thing with mental health is you have no clue what anybody in your room, this room, any room is dealing with. So to speculate, I think, is kind of a foolish errand because she's not going to be competing. And it's clearly something that's impacted her ability to perform. There's nothing that she would rather do than win gold medal at the Olympics. You train your whole life for it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's what happens.
I also think we saw it in the prelims because she was a little shaky. It didn't matter because she was still executing these skills that were far better than anybody else out there. But she was shaky out there, and I think that could probably correlate into how she's feeling today. You know, a little bobble is okay when you're doing that type of skill, but a real fall would be...
Right.
It could be, you know, end your life.
Is it about no fans? I mean, has it been a different experience for a lot of those athletes because there's no fans there?
Probably. But Suni Lee has been rock solid. So, I mean, it's good that we have her in the all-arounds.
Yeah. All right. That's an update on the Olympics. And we got to get to Ken and what is trending this morning.
Drive home with OMF. Weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Mike's Hard Lemonade Seltzer. Mike's Hard Lemonade Seltzer, the only hard lemonade seltzer made by hard lemonade experts, available at Cappy's Norwell, 104 Washington Street. Please drink responsibly. Hard seltzer with flavors. Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois. Verdugo the star last night in yet another Red Sox comeback.
The pitch. Swinging, there's a drive, hit high and deep, right center field, back by the bullpen, and it is gone! Two-run homer, Alex Verdugo, Red Sox lead 5-4, can you believe it?
Down 4-3 in the eighth, two-run shot, makes it 5-4, that was the final. And will Joe Castiglione respond to that vicious shot from John Sterling over the weekend, during the series at some point, mocking his can you believe it call? That is amazing.
John Sterling's a fraud. His real last name is Sloss. At least Joe Castig keeps it real.
I would have said, it's unbelievable.
Is Sterling the guy who goes, the Yankees, that guy?
Yeah. Yes.
Can you do it? Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear you do it.
How does it go? The Yankees, Yankees win.
The Yankees win.
So maybe Joe Castig should go, and the Yankees lose yet again.
Yankees win.
Joe should get somebody to prank call the Yankees broadcast.
Oh, right. Now that is too fresh.
Wouldn't that be... Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, he should do it with like his special, like in a special voice, yes. And just be like,
"We should sick him,
Sterling." When are you going to be able to say the Yankees win again? It's been yes. a long time. Yes,
it is high. It is far.
Joe is too classy to respond. He won't respond to that.
And he loves John Sterling, I think. Maybe not anymore. But the Red Sox, 23 games over 500. At this point, they're on a 99-win pace. And 33rd comeback win, most in baseball. Best record in the AL. Bogart's the night off. Maybe resting that wrist. Kike Hernandez, player of the week. Chris Sale, two more rehab starts at least before joining the Red Sox. His earliest return date now appears to be August 10th against Tampa. There's two big series with Tampa coming up. Those will be interesting, including this weekend at the Trop. Trade deadline Friday at 4. NHL free agency opens tomorrow at noon. Bruins declined to extend Nick Ritchie and Andre Kasha as well. No qualifying offers, so they're saving their money for something. Very interesting.
Kasha was kind of a disappointment, don't you think? During his tenure here, there were high expectations.
Ritchie, though, was great. He had some bright moments last season.
Kasha was never the same after the COVID situation.
After he got COVID or was accused of getting COVID, he was never the same.
Patriots reporting to camp today. Bill Belichick set to speak to the media here momentarily. We will bring you any hot audio clips. Of course, he's preparing for his interview with Wiggy on August 23rd, the debut of Bill Belichick here on the Greg Hill Morning Show. And Aaron Rodgers, touchdown in Green Bay. He's back. Looks like they've worked out an arrangement for one more year at least, and they've knocked off that last year in 2023.
Do you think going back to the Simone Biles thing, where this goes back to what I said they should do, where the Olympics shouldn't be every 4 years because of the pressure it puts on? I'm serious, because of the pressure it puts on athletes. I think 2 years max.
No, I think this is a gymnastics problem, not a sports across the board problem.
But there's too much pressure on.
Yes, if you watch this documentary, like we talked about, she was absolutely mishandled, kind of, and she wasn't even one of the athletes that they followed the entire documentary. But you look at Michaela Skinner, you look at any of the other girls that they followed. Michaela Skinner didn't make it to the finals, and now she is done as a gymnast. I think that it is such a mental game for gymnasts, and I think for Simone Biles to take a stand and say, you know what, I can't do this right now, and it's on the biggest stage ever, that's going to speak volumes to the sport, because the sport has a lot of issues as is, at least in the U.S.
When you say they're mishandled, what do you mean by that?
If you go back and look at the Larry Nassar case alone,
I understand that. That's an awful
but that's
thing,
U.S. But gymnastics as a whole. They weren't letting parents travel with the kids, and they were putting them with this monster.
Yeah,
and that is just one problem that U.S. gymnastics has going for it right now.
Yeah,
and they've kind of overhauled who leads U.S. gymnastics, and that's what the whole documentary is about. Is that there's a lot of pressure on the new people in charge. Because U.S. has now been this kind of gold standard program when it comes to the Olympics.
And then you throw I think it's once every 4 years. I couldn't imagine playing for a Super Bowl once every 4 years.
That's why it's the biggest
thing. And then you think to yourself, like, all right, what are these other 3 years? How do I prepare for that?
I don't understand at all.
How do you not understand the pressure that an athlete might go through when they only can go for a championship once every 4 years? And I think a big part of why you see a lot of these athletes having issues is because now I have to train at a certain level for 3 more years to get another kick at the can.
Wiggy, I'm not debating. You're the athlete. I'm just a moron. But I'm talking about the every 4 years thing. There, if you watch this Golden, I highly recommend it, on Peacock, the amount of time between the Olympics, it's all used to prepare the next generation, the next team. It's a 4-year process that swimming, diving, gymnastics, all these sports do. It's the way they've always been set up.
I think it's stupid.
Okay,
poor athletes. I mean, seriously, you don't find the problem with once every 4 years, and that plays a lot. That's a lot of pressure on an athlete.
But a giant part of any sport is the mental toughness. So I don't understand why. Why is it different whether it's every year or every 4 years?
Because it's easier to go, oh, we didn't get it this year.
It makes it harder to win a gold medal if it's every 4 years. Isn't that the point of it?
No, but
it's supposed to be the hardest The greatest athletic achievement in the world is supposed to be winning a gold medal.
But when you see athletes mentally struggling because they go, oh, my next kick at the can ain't for 4 years away, and I'm going to be 4 years older.
No, but that happens in every sport.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. The Yankees had a guy, a second baseman, who couldn't throw to first base.
Who won the Super Bowl last year?
Tom Brady.
He's 43.
Yeah.
When's he get a chance to win the next one?
Next year.
Right, exactly. So you understand the pressure. There is not as much pressure knowing that I got another year to go after it next year. Rather, if Brady was 43 and goes, oh, my next chance of getting another crack at the Super Bowl.
Well, actually, using your logic, Wiggy, Tom Brady's 43. He's been to a Super Bowl every 4 years of his life.
See, there you go. So yeah. he had to wait 3 years and work hard to get back
No,
there.
But it's always there for the taking.
Yeah. All right. We got to take a – speaking of the taking, we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
More of the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Addressing the media this morning, Bill Belichick has said something, not very much, about Stephon Gilmore. So we'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. And Wiggy, you're taking a little bit of heat on the text line with regard to Simone Biles.
Mm-hmm.
Because there appear to be many who think that if you're going to get yourself in to the Olympics and take a spot from somebody else,
mm-hmm.
you need to have the... I guess they're saying the mental toughness to be able to stay in it.
Well, no, they're saying that you have to, Simone Biles should be mentally tough to stay into
yes,
it.
Yes.
I would say this, whether they're the athletes or non-athletes, I think that Olympic competitors are the most mentally tough people out there.
Even Michael Phelps.
Even Michael Phelps.
Who you say is not an athlete.
He's not an athlete, but I think he's mentally tougher than any football player.
As a competitor, they are mentally tougher than anybody else?
Any other sport.
Why? Because they have to take so long to get there for like 4 years or more. Yes.
Because that's his Super Bowl, right? So think about this. If you're 22 years old right now and you just miss getting that gold, maybe you get a silver, you get a bronze, you now got to say, my next kick at this can for my Super Bowl isn't until I'm 26, 4 years away. I have to train myself physically, stay engaged. And it's not like in tennis, there's the U.S. Open, so you can always look towards that. What is there for like swimmers or gymnasts that gives them that same satisfaction?
The World Championships.
But it don't give them that, like NBA players, we know, all right, if they don't win a gold medal, their biggest goal is world titles.
But wouldn't an NFL player, be it Tom Brady or anybody else, be dragged for saying that they are mentally unprepared to play in a Super Bowl?
But if they are, I think there are so many times where players, no matter the sport, talk about their mental health, and mm-hmm. you should always be supportive of those people.
Yeah,
like Simone Biles saying, I'm not okay, I can't do this right now, you have to appreciate that. She apparently is staying there, cheering on her teammates.
Yeah,
I just think, like, to say she's not mentally tough and that she shouldn't be at the Olympics, this is one of the best athletes of all time. If you look at what she's able to do and at her age, mm-hmm. it's incredible. And then to ridicule her or criticize her because she's not mentally okay to be doing these unbelievable skills that most people, maybe anyone, could ever even think about doing is just unbelievable to me. Like the U.S. gymnastics program is so flawed, and if you take the time to read up on mm-hmm. not only the sexual abuse but the abuse that they used to face from the leaders of U.S. gymnastics, physical and emotional, like, you got to give these women a freaking break.
Well, you talked about it, and I had asked Courtney some of these questions about the U.S. gymnastics team, and so I'm trying to figure out like what could be some of the problems. I said, well, why not make it to where, you know, you can't compete until maybe you're 18 years old? Because if a lot of pressure is being put on a 12 or a 13-year-old, mentally that's going to be really difficult. But then Courtney was like, well, by that time at 18, you don't have, you know.
Your body is not, you can't sustain a elite gymnast's body and ability forever.
It would be interesting, though, if they did the over 40 gymnastics at the Olympics.
Well, but that goes back to my point of if you went every year, now maybe their bodies don't have to go through so much. They don't have to put so much pressure and go, oh, I didn't win the gold this year. Now I can come back for it next year or even 2 years at the most.
They should do over 40 men's league Olympics.
Mm. Yeah, and they actually should host those at the Howl at the Moon.
like men's league hockey.
Oh, what if there's age brackets?
Age brackets for the Olympics?
Yeah, what if there was an age bracket for, gymnastics, I don't know, 16 and under or something like that?
Well, they do that while you're training to become an Olympian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I do feel really bad for somebody who has worked their entire life. This is why when Curtis was talking about canceling the Olympics, I was completely against it because they've put their whole entire lives into it for this one thing.
I don't know.
So I feel awful for her that from a mental capacity point of view, she's just unable to continue to compete, if that's what it is, if it's not an injury thing.
Right.
But it is, I understand what some are saying, where it's you're denying somebody else the opportunity to participate.
She couldn't see that coming. She can't see that coming. She's now there, and she can't do it. So, I would ask those people to train for the Olympics and see how they feel.
But I could see what these people are saying. Well, this isn't her first Olympics. She's been to multiple Olympics, right? So maybe you might feel a certain way, like where you just don't have it, unless it was one of those things that popped up on her last minute. But you said that she was talking about this prior.
Yesterday.
Oh, so prior to that, she wasn't talking about the pressure of being an Olympian.
I mean, you always talk about that, but she wasn't talking about herself individually until yesterday.
All right. This is Mike from New Hampshire. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Hey, sorry, switch gears real quick. But back-to-back great wins for the Sox. And honestly, this team starting to remind me of 2013. I actually go in the game with my son for the first time in 2 years. I'm wicked excited. And I'd really like to ask Mr. Curtis for permission to take a picture of him enjoying the game.
Yes. the question is, will he have the numbnut shirt on or not? I don't think there probably are. I mean, you look at a large percentage of the people that go to Fenway, they're probably not creepy, but there probably are some creepy people there.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't be videotaping somebody anyways, unless it's a fight.
Well, what do you mean?
It's a dance somebody's
doing.
You mean
like the Beach Fight Club?
Yeah, unless it's something
like
that.
You're allowed to videotape Beach Fight Club?
Yeah, videotape that or like somebody's dancing. But you see people there videotaping people just standing at the airport because they want to make fun of what they're wearing. Like, really?
Does that happen a lot?
Well, you see it all. Go on social media and see some of these videos. Like, why would you be videotaping somebody anyways?
Is that like people are at an airport in sandals or something
like
that?
Curtis videoed the guy because he had a funky laugh at the bar. Was that Ken?
Curtis. Oh, my God. It's a series of events.
Like,
here.
If I saw somebody videotaping me.
Curtis is obsessed with taping other people, apparently.
Wait a second.
That's one of my biggest fears, is taking a photo for Instagram. Mm-hmm. Like, the girl looked great. I want to see the photo because I bet the photo is bomb. Mm-hmm. And she should be allowed to do that. I know Curtis and I are on different sides of this one. But, that's one of my biggest fears, is somebody taking a video and putting me on blast.
You're afraid of that?
I'd rather not be put on blast.
You don't want to
well,
be put
I
on
am
blast.
Constantly here, but...
Especially if you go out and have a few drinks, and now you're at the thing, and you're dancing on top of the bar, and they're going to videotape you and put you right on social.
You look great when you dance. I mean, we've already seen you do the new kids thing.
I don't mind seeing it. Yeah. Don't bother me.
All right. We got to take a break. If you'd like to be on, the number to call is 617-779-7937. I do have a pair of Red Sox tickets to give away, which I am going to give away right now. So if you are the ninth caller at 617-931-0937, you win tickets to see the Red Sox and the Blue Jays tomorrow night at Fenway. Sox Blue Jays tomorrow night, 617-931-0937. Thank you to KM Hot Dogs. As long as there's KM, there's summer. They are the official hot dog of the Boston Red Sox.
Let's go. Right back to more of what you want to hear. The Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Yeah, we're not going to talk publicly about contracts.
What have you seen from Stephon? I don't know how much you've seen of him the last few days since he's been in, but in terms of just working to get back, what have you seen from him?
Yeah, that's what he's been doing, and we'll evaluate the progress.
Well, you got what you expected from Bill with regard to Gilmore. Nothing. No answer.
No.
Nothing, but that's all right.
No, he's not going to talk about.
I expect he's going to say anything different.
Very wordy about N'Keal Harry, though.
Yeah, not going to talk about contracts and personal situations.
Wiggy found a way to connect the Simone Biles story to LeBron James.
And Tom Brady.
And Tom Brady. Wiggy could connect anything to LeBron James or Cam Newton or Kyrie Irving. But yes. Yeah, go ahead. What is
it? Well, no. I asked the question. I asked Courtney off air. Like, we always talk about mental toughness in players and, you know, Brady's mental toughness. And, you know, people, I know they criticize LeBron, but I wonder, what do you think is more difficult? A guy who was anointed the next coming of the greatest, you know, person to walk the face of the earth in their sport in Michael Jordan since the time he was 16 years old, or a guy like Brady who basically was never given anything and had to continue to fight to stay on top of that mountain. And the mental toughness that both of these players need to have. Like, say what you want about LeBron James. Mentally, you got to be tough to stay successful, to win championships. And as soon as you picked up a basketball, you know, you were on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 16 years old. Mm-hmm. I mean, that mental, and we're talking about Simone Biles dealing with some issues, you know, where she has been one of these gifted athletes. And, you know, how is she, you know, her not really being able to deal with it in the sense where, can you imagine if a guy walked off the court at halftime and just said, listen, I can't do this no more, or at halftime it's a football player said, I can't play no more?
Yeah, but when it comes to somebody who's dealing with a mental issue, is it right to criticize them for that? I mean, you have...
I don't think so.
You have, like, now in the way things currently are mm-hmm. in this country, you have workplaces that have safe rooms where somebody can go and
recharge,
take a nap by themselves if they get yelled at by their boss. So,
right.
I think every time that I've seen a professional athlete talk about their mental health or having to step away from a game or step away from a season or step away from the sport as a whole, mm-hmm. they are usually celebrated, because I think that the more people that talk about their mental health struggles help so many people that are also dealing with the same thing. It shows that these people are not superheroes. They deal with the same thing as Joe Schmo that is not a professional athlete. I think when it comes to Simone Biles as an individual, she is saying she is not as mentally tough as mm-hmm. LeBron James, as Tom Brady. She is saying she needs to step away, and you have to appreciate that. And I also think when it comes to her, she was abused for many years. So when you see that, you have to understand where she is coming from. And I don't think she felt that way before the Olympics. I think she got to the Olympics. She was like, what is going on with myself? I can't perform to my best ability. And I could very easily hurt myself.
Texter says Wiggy's been doing this to Tuukka Rask for the last year and a half.
Oh, look at Tuukka, right? I mean, right? Because of him, you know, myself included, him walking away or him needing time to recharge mm-hmm. his bed. And we sit here and we criticize him, right? So we do that in all sports. So we're just asking the question, you know, when you see athletes, and I don't, you know, whether they're male or female, when we see athletes and they start to go through some of these things, you know, we're criticizing them for whatever that reason may be. What Tuukka Rask was like, well, he just needed time away. And if you're an athlete, people rip you for that.
Well, but also think about the mental toughness that is required in coming back from an injury, like mm-hmm. like an ACL or something, you know, right. like Edelman, right? Like, you have to be really mentally tough to do that. And you would, you know, I guess that's what you want from your Olympic athletes.
And another great point you bring up, and I'll bring it back to another athlete locally that people crapped on, was Gordon Hayward. Crapped on him. And his ankle was going in a completely different direction. And so, I think people look at it and when you say, and I think that's why it's always, you know, it's difficult because when you say like, all right, this is a lot on me, is it the pressure of the sport or are there other things that are not sports related? Like when you say abuse, like was she sexually or physically?
She was part of the Larry Nassar.
Right. Yeah. So that is different. I can understand maybe some demons that you're battling with there. But if it's just like the sport and the pressure that it takes to become.
Well, if this is the case where she basically blew her routine the other day because didn't she step out of bounds?
Yes, a few times.
So if you have to figure out whether or not if the issue is that she's not going to win and she's feeling all of the pressure from that, then, okay, I mean, that's life.
I think she left that prelim after stepping out a few times saying, whoa, I was completely off. And I think maybe in her mind, it's also a safety hazard. If she's off mentally, it is a safety thing. It's not basketball. It's these people are upside down multiple times, could fall on their neck and break their neck.
But if she's winning, is she stepping away?
I think she had the potential to win.
No, I mean, there wasn't much sympathy for Kyrie Irving when he took a mental health break.
No. Right?
Middle of the season?
Nope. No, they were like, this guy get paid $30 million.
Right.
So I think that
the reason for that is that he didn't detail what his break was regarding. He just left the team without telling anybody where he was.
Well, Simone Biles didn't detail it.
I'm sure her coach knows why.
We know that the owner of the Brooklyn Nets knew. So, I mean, we do criticize certain people. Like I said, they criticize Gordon Hayward for his whole time here. Oh, this guy, what's wrong with him? I mean, who knows what he was going through mentally dealing with that type of injury.
All right, coming up next, we will find out what Lou Maloney thinks the Red Sox will do before the trade deadline on Friday. It is a lose day, and Lou is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.